Father, you've given us all things and prepared us, Lord, to enter into your word, Lord, to learn of you. But before we go to your word, Father, may we take this time that you have given and to go to you directly. Father, my heart's greatest desire is to have the kind of fellowship with you today that you want. So I'm simply asking, Lord, for myself and all who would agree, that you would make it possible so we can draw near to you and, Lord, hear from you directly with the understanding and the comfort and the clarity and all the goodness that you provide. Father, we are asking the will that your heart desires to be done by you, and thanking you, Father, in faith for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. Please follow along with me as we continue in verse 11. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This morning, the Lord is addressing a scandal in our church. And he's doing that in context of the book that he has directed us to, which you know is Galatians. Here at the very end, the Spirit of God is summarizing all that has come before and giving a very focused application, well, to the churches in Galatia, and most especially to our fellowship this morning. So the summary begins remembering with the purpose for which the Lord sent this letter. It was, well, a correction to a group of churches apparently that had gone astray. In the first chapter, the fourth verse, we discovered the theme of the letter. The Lord wanted to deliver his children, his church, his son's bride from this present evil age. And as we talked about remembering what evil, well, is anything that is contrary to the will and the nature of God, especially for his people, his children, his new creation, his ambassadors or representatives. So, in a way, his church, and again, his representatives, was representing something that was not of him. By the time we get to the third chapter, the Lord got very specific with the churches in Galatia, when he identified them as being foolish. Foolish because they knew better. They had turned away from, well, the way they had started. having begun in the Spirit, they were seeking, they were going after, they were applying themselves to be perfect, which means completed, in the flesh. Now, begun in the Spirit, seeking to be perfected in the flesh, those two terms that the Lord really expanded on in the portion of Scripture that we looked at last time in Galatians chapter 5. We can think of it another way. The Spirit, meaning His Spirit or the Holy Spirit, is everything that He is doing. The flesh is everything that, well, His church is doing apart from Him. And we've characterized that in more detail last Sunday. So let's not miss this. They started out by God doing everything. And then at some point, apparently, they thought, or it seemed, well, maybe it would be a good idea if we take over here. Can you imagine someone who would actually think, and by someone, I mean a Christian thinking, I can do better than God. Now, it's not a case of they didn't know better, or they would have not been called foolish. Paul certainly would have taught them as he was with them, right? What it means that the just shall live by faith, that our salvation, our justification, our sanctification, our glorification, the whole thing is by grace, His work through faith, us just trusting and believing. Well, every Christian has an inside track on some of those temptations, and we know that, well, we believe Satan, no doubt, the god of this world, had some inside agents there, some people that we read about previously and again today. They came in and they gave those Christians a reason to believe something they wanted to believe in their flesh, that there was something good that they could do, that they could add into it, and that probably, and I'll show you a contemporary example here in a few moments, that was something actually God wanted for them to kick in and roll up their sleeves and kind of help them out. Believe me, brothers and sisters, that's a very common thought. Have you ever heard this saying, God helps those who help themselves? Well, the truth is, God only works for those who aren't trying to help themselves, but trusting or believing in Him. They started out that way, but at some point they thought, well, I'm going to do this. And who knows but the Lord what things might have happened in that church. Hey, is that God's plan? Well, that's what I'm doing. Well, it doesn't really answer the question, or maybe it does, right? So we know the situation of that church, and we know the Lord has preserved this for all of His churches, including ours at this time. Well, there was something going on. Last week, as we really got the Lord's focus on these two things, we discovered that there was something that the Spirit of God wanted to do within that church. And He wants to do it in this church too. And He wants to do it with every individual Christian. He wants us to help one another. Remember when we saw that we were to, well, bear one another's burdens, when we were to restore someone overtaken in a trespass? Well, we can read about it here. You've got your Bibles open, chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We always have to be careful, right? So, to recap on that from last week, a trespass is knowing where the line is and stepping over. That church would have known, no, God's work must be done by the Lord, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's an example of trespassing, and that really was their trespass. Well, what should have happened and didn't, but could from the time of this letter, was for those within the church who are not in the flesh, you who are spiritual, we saw in Galatians chapter 6, right? Restore such a one. It's kind of like this. Well, they're over the line. Hey, brother, that's all you. Even though you're saying it's God, even though you're quoting scripture, we want to bring you back. Let's make sure that this is the Lord doing it. Oh, because he really is a brother or she really is a sister. Yes, thank you. You know, my flesh didn't want to hear that, but my spirit is rejoicing that we're honoring God. Thank you, Father, and thank you, brother. Thank you, sister, for doing that for me. Well, that is one of the many benefits that can and should exist in the church. Now, in order for us to be effectively used by God, because it's he who does this, to restore someone who's in the flesh, we have to be able to determine, distinguish, discern the difference between the spirit and the flesh. We looked at that in detail last week. The defining characteristics are the results from the Spirit of God working in us. Well, our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, and the other list, well, that looks like everything that we see when we're not walking in the Spirit. The division, the friction, the pain, there's a list, right? And so we can determine the difference. And then, as the Lord shows us and as he moves us, we can be used of by him to restore such of one. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and that, well, defining signature that a Christian, and when you get a group of them together doing the Lord's thing, we call that a church, right? The body of Christ, is that other-centeredness. Love, first directed at the desires, best interests of the Lord, and then others and self in third position. The flesh is me first, me only, me all the time, willing to use others and do things for you as long as me benefits. Oh, but the Lord is so different, isn't he? He's willing to give all so that others may be better off. And, well, there's joy in that. That's supernatural. All of us have experienced the natural. The world doesn't get that. But that's what makes the church different. Now, there's a recap. We talked about that. We said, well, it's kind of a two-part. We can determine the difference. Now, how does that really happen in your life and my life where the supernatural is coming? What do I have to do to walk in the Spirit? Oh, we're already hung at that point. We'll see it in a few moments. But let me just tell you here at the onset, this isn't a approach that you can do with new information. That isn't going to get it done. That's religion. That's, well, kind of like the law. And the purpose of the law was to bring us to Christ. Well, why bring us to Christ? So you can work harder? No, so he can do everything. So the Lord, through Paul, is recapping here. And let's go and break this down and see what the Lord has for us today as he addresses the scandal in this church. The Spirit of God, through Paul, writes in verse 11, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." This is like the closing of the letter, and we know from Scripture, 2 Thessalonians, Paul refers to it. Apparently, it was his custom to dictate the letter, right? He would speak and somebody else would write it down. But at the end, Paul would put his signature in really large letters. It was his identifying signature. There's a couple things there. First one, I'm thrilled that Paul was a giant print guy also here. But we understand that one of the ways, most likely, that the church would know this was Paul, why with the big letters? It appears a brother, by the Lord's allowance, had an affliction with his eyes. Maybe it was a little harder for him to see, too, but, you know, when the print gets bigger, so Paul would sign his letters in very large letters. His way of reminding them, guys, it's me talking to you. And you know if it's me, Paul, you know... I'm not saying anything that the Lord's not given to me. So he gets the focus, kind of that very last of the letter. I'm not just signing off. Don't lose sight of this. We talked about what the problem is, but we really need to understand what the Lord is saying to you. The solution is. The Lord continues in verse 12. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, again, in that church, there was this group of people that came in and took this Christian church who was just trusting in the Lord, and the Lord was working through them and said, well, you know what? Now you need to keep the law of Moses. Right? We often refer to these people as Judaizers, those who wanted to take Christians and turn them to the faith of Judaism, right? The Jewish religion. The Lord in this passage tells us, here's what's going on when people like that do that to you. Now, let me just make this even more helpful. Recognize this in others is easy when you can recognize it first in yourself. We know that this was a work of the flesh. What's the defining characteristic of the flesh? Well, self, selfishness, self-promotion. They weren't wanting the best interests of that church. They were seeking to use the church to promote themselves. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, right? That's that getting attention to ourselves. Last week we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, where we looked at love, the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't parade itself. It isn't all, look at me. You know, if anything, the defining characteristic of the Holy Spirit at work is, look at Jesus, he's doing it. For Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit will tell you about Jesus. And then Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. To glorify means to honor him and to honor by representing or manifesting his likeness. If you want to know that the Holy Spirit of God is moving in any church, the one being honored and represented, the one who is there in the midst is Jesus. Nobody else is being promoted. But this group of people, they were self-promoters. That's how you know it's the flesh. Remember last week we said one of the good things, and maybe the only good thing about the flesh is it's very easy to recognize. So Paul's telling them, can I point out one more thing? Well, if it's so easy to recognize, why is Paul pointing it out? For the very same reason that instructions were given for the church to help one another out. And it's simply this. The people in the flesh don't recognize it as the flesh. The natural man does not discern the things of God. You and me, brothers and sisters, when we're fully engaged in doing our thing, and you can do it in church, you can do it in the Word, you won't even recognize you're doing it. And when somebody comes along and says, hey, that's contrary. Are you sure this is the Lord? And who do you think you are? That's probably when you should recognize it. Oh, wait, I've just been offended. I've been attacked. Somebody's trying to reduce the way that that's the flesh, right? That's why we're told in a spirit of gentleness, by the spirit of gentleness, the only way it's got to be God doing it. Because the flesh doesn't cast out flesh, as it's been said before. So here's this group of people. The Lord is working through Paul to let them know. Maybe eyes were being opened at the time. Oh my gosh, this group of people that we embraced, and no doubt they were willing to do it because that, look at us, we're special, we got this. Oh, self-promoters, and we were there. Well, they desire to make a good showing in the flesh to compel you to be circumcised, which in the case of Judaism was the seal of, see, we can show, we can identify ourselves, we keep this covenant. What if the only way the church identified itself was, people are like Jesus? My suspicion is that's really what the Lord wants. Not that it's wrong to have a sign out there that helps people find the place where the church meets. But what about, hey, what kind of church is this? What do you believe? You may have looked at our website. You know, you go to websites because everybody has one, and it can be helpful for people to find out, well, what does this church believe? Everybody has a statement of faith. You know what? That really doesn't tell you what the church believes. It tells you what they want you to think. That you, if you really want to know what the church is like, you come on in. You live amongst them. You'll see what people believe. Well, they're really, really seeming to be interested in Jesus. They really want to serve him. And you know what? It really seems as though he's working amongst them. I can't think of any greater statement of faith. It's the opposite of what these folks were doing. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised only that they may not, here comes the next point in this passage, suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Excuse me? They had a plan, a system, a law, self-works, all those things. In this case, it was Judaism, but we know we can do it any other way, right? Churches do it all the time. Here's the routine. Here's the process. This is what we do. This is how we identify ourselves. This is what you do. And why not just say, hey, what the Lord says is we shall live by faith. He is going to do it all. I've spent some time, it seems like 20 years, right? Asking and praying, why, Father, don't we just, why doesn't all the church just say, hey, you know this weird thing that I wear, the fancy ornamental things and the rituals that we do and all these distinct, why don't we just say, Lord, I love that song we sang, I'm coming back, it's all about you. Why don't we just let you show us here? Well, you'd have to be willing to admit that maybe the things that you're so invested in are wrong. Well, that's not a problem. It's not a problem to those who walk in the Spirit. But in the flesh? No. That makes me look bad. It shows poorly on me. How is this possibly connected? The offense of the cross, right? They didn't want to suffer persecution. Who would suffer persecution? Go up to a carnal Christian who's fully intent on being carnal and promoting themselves and explain to them that this is what God says and see what the first reaction you get is. Oh, it might be polished. It's like, well, I understand. It's like, well, when you grow. But if you really stick with it, you're going to see the teeth come out. You've heard of church splits, divisions, denomination against denomination, that kind of thing, right? Wait a minute, is Christ divided? No, but the flesh is. And when it really gets ugly, you guys ever heard of something called the Inquisition? Historically, the rack, drawn and quartered, burnt at the stake, those kinds of things. Right? Christians were killed, right? And oftentimes by religious people. Still happening today. What's so horrible about a Christian? Just one thing. It's a constant reminder of this. The thing that you, individual brothers and sisters, rail against in the flesh. It is the offense of the cross, or what makes the truth of God's word so offensive to the flesh. First off, in truth, it tells you this. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. Anything that you can do isn't going to cut the mustard. You're not going to get credit for pulling off this reconciliation to God. Flesh will not handle that. It is, it's offensive. Now, jump forward with me a little bit here, because this is directly tied into verse 17. Paul says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus." Now, we know that our Lord Jesus, as our example, he obviously suffered a lot of persecution. And he promised that all who would follow him would be persecuted in like manner. Don't marvel if the world hates you. You know that it hated me first. So already it might be getting a little uncomfortable in here for our flesh. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, Paul took some beatings, and boy, did he. Paul could lift up his shirt and show you the stripes, the scarring, and the mark. That's what he's talking about. Why? Well, because he was just a nasty guy. Because he spoke the truth in love to people who wouldn't hear it. Just like Jesus, and received the things of Jesus. Well, it's an offense. Hey, look at something here. Going back to Galatians chapter 5, let me draw your attention to verse 11. Something we looked at but haven't expounded on until now. In Galatians 5, verse 11, when Paul was reasoning with the church, his perspective, his difference from the teachers that they had fallen under the spell of, he said this, "And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased." There it is. Why didn't these Judaizers, why didn't they want to suffer persecution? Well, because they knew the offense, how offensive it was for them to humble themselves, right? All human effort, all human wisdom isn't sufficient. In Galatians chapter 5, that word offense, the underlying Greek word that we translate it to is scandalon. You know what that translates into our English language, that Greek word scandalon? It's where we get the word scandal from. Oh, that's so scandalous. Right, we think, oh, something horrible has happened, and it has. Most precisely, most literally, the Greek word refers to a specific part of the trap where you put the bait on. You guys have all seen mouse traps, right? You know, it's that little simple machine. It's got a piece of wood and a spring and the bail, and it's got the trigger. And then you put the little piece of whatever the mouse wants to eat, and when he grabs that, then the neck breaker comes over, and there he is, right? And that's the end of it. Well, that whole idea is more often translated into a snare in Scripture, a trap, or a stumbling block. Something that all of us stumble at. You're not good enough. It's only a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our need of a Savior to have our sins forgiven. But that's only the beginning. Please hear what comes next. I believe as Christians, and none of us are exempt, we are far more willing to accept our unworthiness. I'm a sinner than we are our inability. I got nothing to contribute. Not only did I sin against God, yeah, but now I can do better. That's the hard part. That's where Satan works. That's why the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. We believe that. It's ingrained into the core of who we are. And it never changes. You will not get that out of the flesh. That's who the flesh is. The flesh thinks a lot about itself, right? And it's offensive. Can I show you one more place in Scripture? And something that should have more weight than any other statement or any perspective that I could offer to you. It's not just offensive to us in our flesh. Your best intentions, your self-effort, your desire to get in there and help God out, to live a good godly life, right? You go to Bible study. You do devotions. You do pray. And now armed with this information, a whole new approach, and now I can do it. That's offensive to God. How do we know? Because he said so. Literally. Please turn to Matthew chapter 16. A very familiar passage. Jesus is having a conversation with some folks he's training, whom he loves, whom he was about to give himself for, whom he was going to use to train other people, right? Just like he's doing with us. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 24, Jesus says to them, and still says to us, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me. Did you see your name in there? Well, if you truly want to follow Jesus, yes, you're there. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Right? For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, Jesus speaking on the cross as an absolute necessity for being a follower of Jesus. But what we really want to focus on also to see is, why did Jesus say that at that time? Well, it follows directly an occurrence that happened before. So back up a few more verses to verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. What a crazy plan, right? None of them understood it. None of them wanted it. They were liking Jesus being there and being with him and all those things, right? Then Peter took him, Jesus, aside and began to rebuke him. Ooh, don't think too harshly of Peter. It's the same effect when the Lord tells you something and you don't receive it in trust. Well, he said it. I understood. Remember a question we asked not too long ago? What if God tells you something and you don't understand why he's telling you to do it? You rest in the fact that he does, right? And you trust him. Peter's going to learn this lesson. Peter took him, Jesus, aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you. No one's going to kill you, right? This seems like good things. Not going to let this happen. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense. Anybody got a guess what that underlying Greek word is? The scandalon. This is scandalous, Peter. I just told you something. This is the way it's going to happen. And you've got your plan, your ideas. Oh, but Jesus took into account, wait a minute, it's just Peter doesn't understand. He just doesn't want that for him. He's willing to Lord, even if all the others forsake you, I'll die for you. Peter, I think Peter would have thrown his whole life in to back his plan to make Peter look good. Guys, that's what the flesh does. We need to identify it. The Lord says this is offensive. But more precisely, what does the Lord find offensive or scandalous in the life of one who would be a disciple? He doesn't leave us hanging. He goes on to speak to it here. You're an offense to me. Why? Here it is. you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men and the things of self. It wasn't what he was doing or what. Did you know? It's just mindful. It's all right here where our focus is. That's where the Lord works. That's how he transforms us. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then Jesus goes on to talk about the cross. What's the big deal about the cross? Or let's ask it this way, as one who would be seeking, Lord, I want to understand. What do you mean? What do you want me to know about the cross? Because he's writing about it again to the Galatians. Oh, there's the offense of the cross. Well, simply put, the cross means death. In the most literal sense, the natural sense. When Rome was crucifying all those people, it wasn't a rehabilitation program. They didn't put people up there for time out. The cross meant an absolute end of the physical man. Period. Right? That's exactly what the Lord intends it to be also. Right? When a Christian is living their life by faith in Christ, it's as though they're crucified. Well, first off, we actually are, Romans chapter 6. But you've never spent any time on timber with blood flowing out and nails and whipping and all that, right? So because it's like, well, no, it's just, the Lord's just asking me to believe and trust something that he says is true, right? That we are baptized into his. Oh, and it's true. When we're born again, well, the Lord has made that possible. The old man, the flesh, never has to direct your life again. It only happens when you allow it. It can't dominate you anymore like it could before you were saved. But the problem is we still allow him to do it. That's why restoration. But that's got to end. It's scandalous for a Christian to live any other way than as Christ. No, it's deeper than that. It's scandalous for a Christian to live any other way than Christ living through him. Remember from Galatians chapter 2, that verse? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but, can you finish that? Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, meaning this physical body, I live by hard work, effort, prayer, Bible study, and fasting. No, the Lord will use those things. But the key is, Lord, the life I now live in this body as a Christian, I live by faith, which is trust and dependence upon the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The just live by faith. To live any other way, brothers and sisters, is scandalous. It's offensive to God, and it's offensive to you when you're walking in the Spirit. I see it in you. I see it in you because I happen to see it in myself once in a while. I've learned to recognize it. Here's how it shows up. I'll put it on me here because, sadly, this happens, right? My brother or sister who's walking in the Spirit, and I'll let the flesh come out and insert some of Todd's humor. And I see the pain on your face. It's not because the joke was bad. My flesh thinks they're extraordinarily good, right? But it's the flesh, and it's offensive to you. I see it on you. And then when I'm in the Spirit and you're not, and it's like, oh, this kind of hurts too. Why? Because when we're born again, we're remade, we're getting to it, in the image of Christ. It's offensive to him. Imagine Jesus being here. We want him here, and he is. I just want to see the Father's will done here. The Father's will is that he accomplishes everything as we trust and depend on him. That's the scandal that was happening in the Galatians church. That's the error of Galatianism. Self-effort took over. self-promotion was being promoted. It was happening. And now the correction here, as everything is summarized and being focused, the cross wasn't just the answer. The cross still is the answer. And understand this, that conflict of someone in the spirit and other with other people persecuting, that happens. That's the conflict within every Christian. The spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. These two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you want to do. Right? Wow. But nonetheless, the Christians say, hey, just walk in the spirit. Right? Just trust the Lord. Seek all those things that he's already told us. It's just coming back to that position and not moving. Don't go out again. Right? It would be a scandal. The worst kind. You know, when I said that, I say, oh, addressing the scandal in the church. Who stole some money? Well, no. The scandal, what's offensive to the Lord, is anything that you or I do that he's not doing in us. Period. That statement I made, it's so easy for us to more quickly accept our unworthiness than our inability. All these good gifts and talents that he gave us, what do you have that you didn't receive? The Lord says, no, I can just use this as I want. Now, this will really contribute. Wow, we're not being honest with ourselves. It's like that Corinthian church, the immature church, using the gifts to promote itself. Well, back to Galatians here. He's talking about that group of people that was so skilled and so willing to use the things of God that had passed away, the faith of Moses, Judaism, right? To bring those people into bondage, verse 19. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law. They didn't realize it, right? They were promoting something that they couldn't do. That's kind of consistent with the deceptive nature of the flesh. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Hey, let me contemporize that again. A church promoting its church by, look at this is our size, this is our program, this is how we help, this is how I'm building this and we're doing this and we're, okay, where's Jesus? Remember those two principles that we talked about early on? The Christian life is one of constant reception. It's not like you fill up and go do your thing. It's always the Lord is the branch abides in the vine. It's always the life of Christ, the Spirit of God moving through us to guide us to accomplish everything that he wants to do. And it's evident by the fruit it produces. The second principle is part of it. Since we're constantly receiving, it's from what source? As Christians, you can still tap into the old one, but you don't have to. It's offensive. You shouldn't. Are we receiving from the flesh and operating that way? Or are we receiving from the Spirit of God and he's operating that way and us with him, right? Well, it's clear what the right answer is if we ask the question, what should we do? Paul says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Galatians chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Every time you can say that is a guarantee that you're walking in the Spirit at that time. When that's not true, you're not. And what the Lord is doing is saying, we want to see that. Okay? So Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. A little more expansion. Now, any Christian who's walked in the Spirit at some point and remembers it can identify with this. We know that as a Christian, two natures for this season, side by side, the old man and the new man. Right? And if I walk accordance with putting my trust and confidence and following what the old man wants, the things that excited me before I was a Christian still kind of excite me as a Christian. Oh, it just drove by. Oh, if only I could remodel it and get this new, whatever it might be. But then Jesus, right? And everything changes. And there's those moments where it's like, well, okay, Lord, I know you gave this, but it's not better than you. And it's just your friends. Like, why aren't you doing this? It doesn't do it for me. That's true of me or you when we're walking in the Spirit, right? So Paul says, as he's walking in the Spirit, well, the world and the things of the world, it's just kind of dead. It doesn't have that same pizzazz, right? He says, an eye to the world. Pretty soon the buddies stop asking you to do those things when you're walking in the Spirit. The only way you can maintain a relationship, friend, family, loved ones, with someone who is carnal is to compromise. Well, let me be the first one to tell it to you clearly, gently. If you're walking in the Spirit, right, and they're wanting to hang out with you, that's ministry, right? The Lord is using you to bring you to Him. Goes the other way, you're not crucified to the things of the world, right? No, you're very much alive to the things of the world. Jesus, you wait here. I'm going to go do my thing with them. Not when we're walking in the Spirit. It's the principle from the book of Jeremiah. The Lord made it very clear. Jeremiah ministered at a very hard time, right? Right? You're not going to have a wife and kids. That was big, especially in Jeremiah's culture. Oh, and the whole priesthood and the culture. People hated Jeremiah for saying the things of the Lord. Family, friends, colleagues, all that. God said it this way. They can come over to you, but you must not return to them. Christian, that is what it means for the world to be crucified to you and you to the world. They can come to you, but you must not return to them. Oh, as the Lord sends you in to live and work among them, as you're walking in the Spirit, that's ministry. The flesh will deceive itself and say, I'm doing my own thing and calling it ministry because I'm a Christian. The Galatians did it. It was a scandal. It's offensive to God. And the answer was, is, and always shall be, well, the cross. Verse 15, the Lord explains it. For in Christ, and that term meaning when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're condition, the way you live your life is lined up with who you are positionally, right? Baptized into Him, seated with Him in the heavenly places. When those two aren't different, well, that's that in Christ. For in Christ, when you're in the relationship with Jesus right now that He wants you to be, when He's moving in you and through you and He's in the midst of the church, right? Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, some orthodox religious practice or refuting it, avails or accomplishes anything, but a new creation. You know this from 2 Corinthians. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Right? I always struggle with that a little bit. Right? Behold, old things, but all things have become... No, all things have... The flesh hasn't become new. No, but if you're in Christ, there isn't any more old man. You can't mix those two. I think that's a concept that the church struggles with too. I can have the good things of the world and Jesus. We reviewed King Saul and Samuel not too long ago. Well, that's witchcraft. Take it from the Lord, right? Better to obey than sacrifice. Saul wanted to keep the best stuff. All right. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, what's the rule? Everything of the old life that the Lord is not doing, right? Is offensive, is not acceptable. It's, you can't add anything. It's spirit or flesh. The cross is like a steel security door that comes down. You're on one side or the other. You can't have a foot on each side, right? It just doesn't work. So when I'm in Christ and I'm not offensive to God and there is no scandal, this is the rule. That's what it means to be well-pleasing to God. As many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy. You know, none of us are perfect in that practice, right? But we find God's mercy. We find Him and the experience of it. Oh, and the peace, as well as all those other good fruits. Peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. We need to address the Israel of God. I've heard some pretty interesting interpretations there. In context, there were people, maybe they were Jews, but they were preaching Judaism, right? Israel, the true Israel. There's a problem with any teaching on this whole, what does Israel mean to begin with? Because nobody's really confirmed exactly what the name means. We know that the Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel. Some people would look at the language and say, well, it means to be governed by God. Right? Others say, well, it means belonging to God. I think it means both of those and so much more. It means, in the way that the Lord is using it through Paul, upon the Israel of God, right? The Lord used Paul to say this of the Jewish people. They're not all Israel who are of Israel. They're not all God's people. So God's people, even like Abraham, responding in faith and trust, that's what he's looking for. Not just some tribal affiliation. Those who will really respond to the Lord. Be you Jew or Gentile, reconciled in Christ, the true Israel of God. And then, well, here comes a sign off. From now on, let no one trouble me. Think about that for a moment. What do you mean troubled? What? Let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul is saying, they beat me for the witness of Christ and I had enough. Y'all stop it? I don't think so. Paul willingly gave everything, right, in the service of Christ. It doesn't mean he liked being beaten. But we saw him and Barnabas praising and worshiping God and the Lord using that. Let no one trouble me, right? When we, you, me, us, walk closely with Jesus, you begin to experience the things, the very life of Christ that he experiences. The things that he delights in and the things that are upsetting to him. We already talked about it a little bit. Oh, that's offensive to me because I'm in the Spirit and you're not. That's hard. Since the fruit of the Spirit is love and love is other-centered, well, you know this passage. You hear it almost at every Christian funeral. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. That's near and dear to God. Remember what Jesus said to Paul in his conversion on the road to Damascus? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? It was just Paul just doing his own thing, zealous for the things of the law. What was he going to do? Imprison men and women? Believers in Christ, Christians, that they'd be delivered to death, which he said he did a lot of. Right? What was Jesus' response? You're doing that to me. You're persecuting me, the body of Christ. Paul's just picking up on that. You know, don't let anyone trouble me. When those guys come in and they do this to you, it's painful to me. And the reason it's painful is like I'm there with Jesus walking this thing out. Yeah, I'm receiving the things that he is too. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And then finally, where the Lord and we conclude today. Brethren, the grace. Okay, stop with me and think about it. Great. What does grace mean? Well, it means so much more than we can put in a description. But it's every good thing that's bound up in God that he wants to do, made available to us through faith in Jesus, reconciled. Everything God wants to do. Let me hold up a little bit longer here. Have you as a Christian ever had times in your life when you just haven't been experiencing the good things? You read about it, it's just not there. I don't know, man. You go to these Bible studies. It's tired of going to the Bible study. I guess I got to go out and do it for myself here. Well, that's walking in the flesh. But what's the disconnect? That's the point. Well, I think the Lord is reminding them and reminding us this morning. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your flesh. That's the deception. That's the real scandal, the pitfall, the snare, the trap. Oh, I can go out and do better. You're deceived, and we try it, and you're miserable. Oh, I can delight the flesh for a while, but you just keep going, keep more and more, more of the hobbies, more of the acquiring, more of the programs, more of the... It's not doing it anything for you. So I'll just keep doing more of what doesn't work. And it just keeps getting worse. Well, yeah, of course it does, especially if you're his. He's chastening you, and it's painful. But in the Spirit, all of God's grace, all of his goodness, all of him, first and foremost, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, be with you when you're walking in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Father, truly, Lord, we can ask for that because you desire it. Your word has made it clear. Lord, we know that this is going to be a lesson and a practice we will walk through all of these days. Father, I want to pray personally with and for my brothers and sisters that their eyes might be open to the same thing you open my eyes to. It's not just taking this information and us trying it. It's a new approach with new info that still won't get it. That's still our flesh. That's still religion. What this new creation and this new life, Lord, is knowing you, walking with you. Us being more concerned about than any other thing right now, saying, where's Jesus? Lord, being with you, what's your perspective? What are you showing us? Lord, how can we just stay close to you and be directed by you and rest in you to experience you and others to see you through us as you are with us, Lord? All of your grace we have forever to discover. Lord, I want to ask for my brothers and sisters, myself today. But I want to ask more than that, Lord, because that is not offensive to you. I would like to ask this too, Lord. It's still possible, Father, that there's things that we're holding on to, our so-called sacred cows of our flesh. Things, Lord, that are scandalous. Things that we've deceived ourselves. Lord, would you make it so we're just humble and transparent to your Spirit receiving from you. Hearing from you, Lord, as you take the rightful place in your church, your throne set up in every heart, and for every receiving heart, Lord, that we might understand, Father, that you're going to use us to be your instrument as you work through us to help one another. Lord, that one question wouldn't have to be asked by anyone who enters this fellowship. Where's Jesus in all of this? But that they would see you. That your Spirit would make much of you, Lord, and only you. All the things, Father, that you desire to speak to us and accomplish in us. The fellowship you want to have as we rejoice in you and one another with you, Lord. We're asking for these things. And more than that, Lord, we're trusting you to accomplish. Because we've asked in your name, and we're thanking you in faith. Amen. Amen. Is there a last song? Okay.